I'm going to start with a story today, and the story may not seem like it has to do with anything, but it has everything to do with what we're talking about today. So I'm going to start with a true story. When I first arrived here in 1982, I was director of recruitment, and what they wanted me to do as soon as I got here was they wanted me to travel and you know, get out there and hawk the wares. And so when my wife and I and our children came down here, it was a rough start for us. We didn't want to be here. We came because it was God's will and only because it was God's will. And so it was a tough time. It was a tough time for both of us the first year. It was particularly tough for my wife, who really didn't want to be living and come down from the mountains and live in Colombia and be with our four-year-old daughter and 16-month-old twins stuck out there in La La Land all day long while I'm having a good time eating lunch with my friends and laughing, saying, isn't this great? And so when the folks here wanted me to go traveling, and one of the places was Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-E-R, Florida, I said with great husband to do, you're getting out of the house. Great news. We're going to Florida. And we're going to do some recruiting. She says, I don't want to go to Florida. I said, what are you, crazy? I said, Florida, you know, ocean, big wah-wah. You know, let's have a good time. We're going to have a blast. She says, I'm going to get stuck in some motel room, and you're going to be out there talking to everybody, and I'm going to lose my mind back there. I said, no, 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 trust me. So very reluctantly, since we were only married 4 years, she still trusted me in those days. And I got to go over here because I have more rope. And so we went to Florida, and everything was exactly like she said it was going to be. And I was had to go all these schools. I was running around like a mad banshee. I left 7 in the morning, got home 9 at night. The woman every day I got back 10 days. She looked a little crazier every time I got back to the motel room. And then we'll go changing motel. She was not a happy camper. So on the 10th day, I had not yet seen the ocean. Florida isn't that wide. I had not yet seen the ocean. It was such a hard-working trip. And lo and behold, we finally, the 10th day, it stopped. And I said, all right, I'm going to take a day off. We're going to have a great time. The big wah-wah. Let's get the pail and the shovel. Let's do the whole thing. And let's save our marriage. And so we got to the ocean. We even knew some people down there somewhere, Fort something or other, and we met them down there. Now, I told Vicky everything was, all the kids were getting arranged on the beach. And so Charlotte, my four-year-old, was right next to me doing the paddle thing. Boom, 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 da-da-da-da-da, having a good time. Within reach. Victoria, I think she was, I think 18 months is, I think, more appropriate here. Like 2 months makes a big difference. But I think they were 18 months old, to be precise. And she was in one of those little pools where the water goes in and the water goes out. And it's very warm water. And it's about that deep. And she's like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And she's having a good time. Jonathan was being adventurous. And he was, I don't know, many, 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 many feet from where the wave comes in. And so, and he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's slapping around down there. And so I told my wife, and she was with this other woman who she liked, this friend person. And I said to her, why don't you, you know, you always, where do you, when you take a walk on the beach, where do you always go to? The pier. That's right. You always find a pier. There was a pier way down there. And so I told her, why don't you go down, take a nice long walk with Chris to the pier and relax. Get those motel rooms out of your system. Go on. Just relax. And she said, I can't do that. I said, why? I said, why? I've got everything under control. And so she said, every time you watch the kids, you know what happens. And indeed, many things happened. But two I remembered I say here when I take a little talk is a couple of things that definitely happened that she brought up at the moment was that one time that Jonathan had a little fever and she went out shopping, and I thought the good idea for fever is to strip him absolutely naked and to put him in, we're in the mountains, and put him in this little pool, and it was cold, and I thought cold water would bring the fever down. I did it, and he got pneumonia. And she brought that up on the public beach. And she brought up the time that I took the kids for a walk when she went out shopping. And I decided, you know, I got real claustrophobic with the kids making noise in the house. And so since we had twins, we had a big stroller. And so I got the three kids in the stroller. One was kind of big for it. And I lived on a highway, and so I went walking on the highway. And while I was walking on, I was off, you know, whoosh, whoosh, but it's all right. I was doing all right. But then a thunderstorm came up. And I was very famous in the area for this maniac running in this thunderstorm with three people, and the people almost crashing into us looking at this lunatic running with his three kids. So she brought that up on the beach. So she says, she's saying all these things, and I'm listening, and she was in the motel room for 9.5 days. I understood, and she had a lot of frustration to get out. And so I just took it, and I said, well, honey, I have learned. I mean, you know, men aren't born with these natural instincts, and I've learned now. And she said, I don't know. I said, please. I said, it would mean a lot to me if you'd go take a walk down to the pier. So very reluctantly, she went to the pier, which was a fur piece away. And as soon as she got out of, you know, kind of range, I got into my very last. I was 35 years old, and I was at the very end of my trying to be cool stage. And so I had one of those low chairs that you put on the beach, at least they did put on the beach. And I squatted real down into it, and it was hard because I'm big. But I got down there, and I put the shades on, and I don't know if I had. I mean, I just try to be cool. And so, and I don't know why. I got three kids. I'm on the beach. Why am I trying to be cool? But I was trying to be cool. And then I start getting attacked by this New Jersey woman. There was a woman there who heard everything my wife said. And she had moved down from New Jersey, or from Jersey. And she took it upon herself to be the guardian of my children. And she said, I heard what your wife said. I said, no, I don't beat her, what my wife said. Thank you. She said, you better be very careful. And I said, I am. And so I squatted down there, it's been cool. And she said, you're not watching your son well enough. I said, what do you mean? She said, the water's different down here than it is in Jersey. She said, the water's very different. I said, what is water? And she said, no, it's not. She said, the water comes, it just keeps coming. First of all, she said, there's a real bad undertow down here. And it takes children out and kills them. That's what she said. And I said, okay. But doesn't a child have to be in the water for it to affect them? The undertow doesn't do the sand, right? So she's just disgusted with me. And she's muttering and saying, no wonder why he feels like that. And then she says, it's not just the undertow. The waves are different down here, too. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, every once in a while, a big wave comes. You think it's going to break, but it doesn't. And it comes and it snatches the children who are right by near the water. And then the undertow gets them and kills them. So I told her that was very good information to know. And thank you very, very much. And she said, and I got into my, you know, it's not... I mean, I haven't had any relaxation, no cool, no nothing, just harassment. So I get buckled down to be in my cool position and enjoy the time. And she said, you don't believe me, do you? And I said, lady, I believe you. And she said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. And I said, if I didn't believe you, I'd be asleep. I said, I am on the alert. I am sitting here staring at that boy. I said, I'm telling you, I believe you. She said, you don't believe me. I said, I believe you, lady. So I'm looking. And I'm watching. And you're scanning. You know, you're looking for sharks and whales and ships that are going to run aground into your son. And, you know, you're looking for all that stuff. And you can't keep counting. You know, no matter how many children you have. I had three, so I just kept going. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And saying, when I grow up, I'm never going to be a mother. I couldn't take the pressure. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Anyway, finally, looking out into the ocean. I'm watching, you know, you're watching the waves come in one after the other, after the other, after the other. And I'm watching this wave that is not breaking. And, you know, I'm looking out there and I'm saying, all right, baby, come on, come on, break. And so I look, you know, and it was kind of breaking from my left to my right, from your right to your left. And that's how all the other waves are breaking. And so I'm waiting for it to happen. And it ain't happening. So I look the other way. Maybe this wave got a little mixed up. It's going to break from right to, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, all of a sudden I realize this sucker is not breaking. And I'm saying, no. And I jump up. I mean, I'm just filled with terror. I jump up, and it wasn't a pretty sight because the chair was stuck to my hips. And I'm running with this chair. It's real hard. And obviously, that brings attention to you. And I wound up, gratefully, halfway to the big Wawa. The chair fell off. Just the movement itself squished it off. And sure enough, the wave came and just whacked Jonathan. And I mean, this thing still. Jonathan is now floating like a turtle, except he doesn't have the apparatus. He's upside down. And it's a true story. He's upside down, and he's coming at me pretty fast, which is cool. And I'm coming at him pretty fast. I mean, we could have made a great movie together. And then my worst fears were realized when I realized all of a sudden he stopped coming, and now he started going the other way. And I went, I'm not yet, and I got something. And it was like, and when I looked, I had a bathing suit full of sand and a boy. Well, he is not a happy camper. He is throwing, I mean, first he's like, and then all of a sudden, I'm saying, oh no, and it, and I mean, it is all happening, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like that, and then I mean, I'm just like, but I don't care, throw up, I don't care, I just can't blame, throw up all over my face, I don't care. He's doing things. And then I look, and there's a crowd just about your size, all looking at me. And I'm saying, I see he's alive, and all this crowd looking at me. And I'm saying, it's okay. Everybody go, go. It's all under control, under control. Well, you know, finally he just went from that to the heat. And then he finally, you know, we finally had some kind of a boy back. And being the hero kind of guy I am, I carried him back to where I started. And you know who was waiting for me. And she said one statement that has changed my life. And the statement was, you see, I told you you didn't believe me. Now, she was right. The old lady was always right. I treated her like a jerk. What does she got to know? I'm 35. I'm cool. She's old. She knew from the get-go that if I believed her, I would, if I really believed her, and if I really loved my son, I'd take action. Belief means action. It doesn't mean saying, I believe you. It means action. I want to talk today about belief. You see, in that case, belief meant the life of my son. My mistaken understanding of belief almost cost my son's life. Do you know that Christians, so-called Christians, people are think they believe in Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, they don't. And they think everything's cool. But the fact of the matter is, it's not. And they think they're going to heaven, but they ain't. And I'm here to tell you that it's very important for us to know what God means when he says to believe, because eternity hangs in the balance. And so when we go witnessing, and maybe it's somebody here, maybe it's somebody here, but I'm thinking about when we go witnessing, we're talking to your Aunt Matilda, and Aunt Gertrude or Uncle Jack, who's sleeping around and drinking, and you go witness to him and say, don't tell me, don't go laying that stuff on me. I believe the same God that you do. I'm saved, you're saved, everybody's saved, I'm cool, you're cool, everybody's cool, I'm going to heaven, get off my case. And you've got nothing to say. Believe is kind of important to the Lord. Pistuo is the, I can't remember. One's a verb, one's a noun. Faith and belief come from the same word. And one's a verb, one's a noun, believe's the verb. And kind of important, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Believe, 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 believe. Faith, 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 faith. What does God mean when he says, believe in my Son and you have everlasting life? I'm going to tell you what it means. And I'm going to tell you, I'm saying here, it's going to sound cutesy, but it happens to be the truth. This is really what the word means. I've just arranged it in a particular order so you remember it, and it's cutesy, but it's the truth. It means R-O-T-C. Now get Reserve Officer Training Corps out of your mind. From now on, it's a different army. It's the Lord's army. You're in the Lord's army. So know what it means to believe. R-O-T-C. This is really what the word means. The first meaning of it is rely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever relies on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not whosoever says, glory be. Not say, I just have a contest. Who can get to Ezekiel fastest? Go! For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever relies on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does the word rely mean? Depend. Exactly. To depend. To put your full weight on. To put your full weight on. Now, this is a very old cane. I wish they gave me a better one. But considering I'm on a diet. All right. I don't know. Anyway. You ever see these old people walking around on their little doohickeys, their walkers? Or you ever see a guy like Chip McDaniel in the grad school, other people, somebody break their leg or do something to ankle? And they're leaning on the cane. This thing's bone. Isn't it bone? I hope it doesn't snap on your face. anyway. But better hit your head in your face. I'm depending on this cane. You're depending on that chair. You're going to look like a fool if you're not. If it doesn't. I'm depending on this chair. On this cane. I'm putting my full weight in this cane. I'm relying on this cane. Now, you ever see those people who do the mime stuff? One of these days, I'm going to learn how to do that. Three times they try to teach me. Three times I fell. They put my knee in like this. They do it like that. I don't know. They got me on like this. But anyway, you ever see the people who really can do it and they look like they're leaning on a cane? Now, if you come up from under, if you came up from the old man or me, not necessarily the same, and you came out now and there's someone sneaking back there and you're all keeping a straight face. He's coming out from behind. Oh, mercy. He's coming out from behind the screen and he's one of those, you know, immature freshmen. And he's coming out. He's going to do it. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And he kicked that thing out of me right now. What would happen to me? You bet I would. If I was a mime and the guy came out and didn't understand and went kicked out, what would happen to me? Nothing. If I kicked Jesus Christ out from under you, what would happen to you? I hope you smash your face bad. Let me tell you something. A lot of people, you know, if I could prove, which I can't, hallelujah, if I could prove Jesus Christ was a fake, which you can't, what would happen to a lot of people in the churches? Now, a lot of people, nothing would happen because they're spiritual minds, because they're not putting their full weight on. They're holding back. Yeah, they may have the cane in the hand, but they're holding back. I can have the cane in my hand, but I'm not, you know what I'm saying? You kick this out right now, it's touching the ground, ain't nothing going to happen to me. Because I'm not putting my full weight on. I'm not depending on it. I look like I'm depending on it. Now I'm depending on it. You take Jesus Christ away from me, I'm in a mental hospital. I don't turn to money, I don't turn to sex, I don't turn to power, I don't turn to another alternative. There is no other alternative. Second one is O, is obey. What does the word obey mean? Pardon me? Do what you're told. That's pretty cool. Do what you're called. Do what you're told. Webster says, my mother and father says, do what you're told. Webster says, fulfill the commands of another. To fulfill the commands of another. Now that sounds simple enough, right? Doesn't that sound simple enough? I mean, what could be harder than that? You want to, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever obeys him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Sounds simple enough. Not. Because, you know, I've got friends that I went to grad school with in the Midwest who now, I've got a number of friends who now, the girls are kissing the girls and the boys are kissing the boys. And they're taking their clothes off and they're going to church every Sunday. And they're welcomed and blessed. And God says in Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, not. Do not be deceived. Those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But ministers are saying, not, not. And you will go to heaven. And my friends, people at my wedding, I'm saying, don't do it. Come back. And they say, not. Sorry, you're so hung up. And I said, but you don't believe in Jesus. And, oh, yes, I do. Oh, no, they don't. Not according to God. Rely, obey, trust. What does the word trust mean? Say it loud. The female, last female voice, say it loud. Yeah, I want to track where the voice is coming from. Thank you. Ah, good lunch partner. That's what I like. To put all your faith in something. Yeah, I give it a little much. Too theological for me. I'm a non-theological kind of guy. Yeah. Be confident in something. All right. Well, be confident is one step away. I mean, I can be confident but not do anything. Right? Count on. Yeah, that's good. And you too. Yeah, I mean, we got to take action here, you see? Trust, all that's the right idea, I-D-E-R, is the right idea, but I always know when I don't always know when I do, but I often know when I do because your faith's gone. trust means to put something into the care of another. That's the literal definition. Okay. This is my baby. Actually, during the spring conference one year, I asked Rick Swift and his wife, Patty, if they would help me with an illustration. And that would be when I'm illustrating trust to, they had this newborn baby named Amy. And I said, would you come, I asked Mrs. Swift, would you please come to the stage at this time and hand me Amy? And now, Mrs. Swift knew all the stories. And Mrs. Swift, Amy was the first baby. Amy was very young. Mrs. Swift was very reluctant. But she did it. And it was a tremendous illustration because if you just hand me Amy, I said, can I? And but she, but no, she didn't do it like that. oh, yeah, that's how she did it. Watch the neck. Okay, I've got the neck. Okay. Well, anyway, as would be my Presbyterian luck, Amy grabbed my lapel mic. And the mic went flying, and everything in me said, grab the mic! Anyway, trust is to... It's putting something. Trust is putting something into the care of another. Now, the reality of this whole thing with Jesus is that you say, when I ask you, you say that that you trust Jesus with your very soul for eternity. Is that true? I mean, I want a verbal yes. If you don't have to answer, but yes, just yes or nothing. Do you trust Jesus with your soul for eternity? Yes. Okay. Then I have another question. This is a rhetorical question. That means you don't answer. How is it that you can tell me that you trust Jesus with something that you can't see, at a place that you haven't been, outside of time that you've never experienced, when you don't trust Jesus with your life on earth? It doesn't make sense. How is it that I have 38-year-old women and men? I'm picking on a woman this time. I usually pick on men. But how many women I've counseled, I cannot tell you, who have been in their late 30s, early 40s, in the church and at the school, who are about to marry a non-Christian. I cannot tell you how many. I can't count how many. And you know, I say, how can you do this? The Bible says this. You need to trust God. I've trusted God for 41 years. Look at me. I am not very good looking, am I? She says. I said, nonsense. She said, don't give me that. I'm not very good looking. I don't have that great personality. You know it. I know it. He doesn't know it. And he loves me. And I love him. And I can't. I'm marrying him. I want your blessing. I'd like you to perform the ceremony. I can't. How can we say we trust God with our souls for eternity when we can't even trust him for the twinkling of an eye? And from younger people I hear, God doesn't love me. Man, for those of you people who like me, say things like, man, I'm sure, if I was born in your family, cool. And I see how you treat Charlotte and Jonathan and Victoria, and I see how they love you, cool, but I wasn't born in your family. You know what my dad did to me? And I said, God knows it. And God's going to turn everything into good. Don't you believe that? No! Do you trust Jesus for your soul for eternity? Absolutely. Rely, obey, trust, and cling. Cling. This, all these words, what it really means, folks, I'm not making it up. Just arrange. Cling. What does the word cling mean? To hold tightly to. Good. Good. To grab hold of. You got it. It means to adhere to resist separation, to hold tightly to grab hold of. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son. Do you know that? That whosoever relies on him, obeys him, trusts him, and clings to him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Illustration I use for this. Imagine yourself on a cruise going somewhere out there in the ocean. I don't do the ocean. See, ocean and me don't get along ever since Jonathan, you know. But imagine you're going out there and I don't want to get too deep into it because I want to finish. I can do it. Imagine my wife asked me to take her on a cruise to nowhere, which I wouldn't be into because when I put my money down, I like to buy something because I'm cheap. And so, you know, going out to dinner and stuff like that, I don't like because I could have bought the same steak for 1/5 the price. And she says, but honey, the atmosphere. And I say, atmosphere? How can you call this atmosphere? 5 times the price. But anyway, but my wife is into romance and atmosphere. And so I can imagine that she asks me and talks me into going on a cruise to nowhere for the atmosphere and for the romance. And I'd be the kind of guy, if she did that, and if I did that, that if I was out there on the second night and it was pouring rain and nobody else would go on the deck of the ship, that I'd be out there trying to get my money's worth. And so imagine this really happened, though it didn't. And so she said to me, even though it didn't happen, she said to me, where are you going? And I said, I'm going out there. I want to see what's out there. And, you know, I paid all this money. And she said, but honey, it's pouring rain. It's pitch black. No one's out there. What, are you crazy? And I say to her, well, then I'll find out. I'll get my money's worth. I'll find out what the ocean looks like in the middle of the night in the pouring rain. At least I get my money's worth. And so Dumbo goes out, imagine. And I go out there, and I'm saying, all right, this is exciting. And so I said, well, wow, maybe I can see the foam where the ship is going through. That's exciting, watching the foam. And so I lean over. And just as I lean over to see the foam, the ship lurches. But I was the only idiot out there in the first place. And so there it goes. Anyway, there it goes. Now imagine I'm out there doing, you know, I mean, you know, I'm supposed to float and all that stuff. You know, I'm scared to death. And and I'm out there trying to do the float thing. And but I never could relax. So I got to keep moving everything. And just imagine then that I feel this thing going right by me. And it's long. Now, being a New Yorker, I can handle anything. You'll find out. Anyway. Sharks, nothing to them. I understood you punch them in the nose and they're history. And this was a make-believe story. Virtually everything else is true, what you're going to hear during the course. But imagine then that, that the New Yorker says history and goes, and with his mighty bow, and hits, and finds out that he's not hitting a shark, but he's hitting a plank of wood. Now, what do you suppose I'd do with that plank of wood? Yeah, I'd cling to that sucker. I'd hold on to that plank of wood as if my... Do you think I would see how far away I could swim and get back? I mean, come on. Gee, I wonder if I could find it in the middle of the ocean again. And you think, I'd hold on to that as if my life depended on that plank of wood, because it does. Well, I used to be a bookie in New York. I used to set odds. Before I was a Christian. And now, I still got the ability to set odds. I'm very good at setting odds. It's a wasted gift. But anyway. Anyway. I'm telling you as an ex-bookie that the likelihood, it is, you are more likely, in my opinion, just pure gambling talk, you're more likely, in my opinion, to find a plank of wood in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the night, than to think that God will become human and find you in the middle of the universe on the earth. But that's precisely what happened. And I look at people having sex and drinking and this and that and saying, glory be. And it makes me sick. How on earth we claim to be Christians and see how far away we can swim? What are we, maniacs? And beside that, God says, cling to my son. I believe eternal security. You're going to get there. I believe in perseverance of the saints. You're going to get there. I believe in predestination. You're going to get there. I believe that God told me to cling to his son. And so when you talk to your Aunt Matilda and you talk to your Uncle Jack, and they're saying, me too, and you say, mm-mm, just do it. Here's the plumb line. You use it. Because this is what God means. Furthermore, what difference beside eternal life? What difference? Can we talk about the victorious Christian life here? I'm going to trip and fall. What difference does it make on the earth if you rely, obey, trust, and cling to Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you what it is, what difference it'll make. 1 John 5:3-5 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Folks, this, our faith, belief, ROTC, is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, don't I still suffer and hurt and cry? You bet I did. Did it yesterday. But that's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. I'm human. I'm the flesh. Yes. But it's just the beginning. Nothing, nothing, nothing needs to keep me down. Nothing. There's a great difference between being an average Christian and an authentic, victorious Christian. Great difference. Average Christian claims Christ. but lives like the world. The only question there is that Christian? Despite all my wacko-ness, I claim to be normal. I claim to be authentic. I claim to be victorious. The world, with all its sorrows and temptations, need not overcome me. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this course. I don't need to get overcome. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Do you believe that? I accept this fact. And that's what the subtitle of this whole course should be. Taking God at his word. Learning to take God at his word. So I accept this fact. Not just what the Bible says about the past, but about the present and future as well. I don't wonder if I'm going to heaven. I know it. Because God said it. Not because I feel today, how I feel today. I know it because God said it. I don't wonder if I'm going to be delivered from Satan's power. I have already. Despite the lies ringing in between my ears. I know it because God said it. I don't wonder if I can be set free from a horrible past. But you know what? I have. But before I was, I knew it because God said it. I don't wonder if I can live above my circumstances. It's not theoretical. It was never theoretical. It's real. I just had to go experience it. I knew it because God said it. I don't wonder if God really loves me. I don't wonder if God really loves me. Despite everything that's happened in my life, I don't wonder. I really don't wonder if God really loves me. I know he does because he said it. All this is done through God's power, not my power. Very, very important. I mean, I can't do anything through my power. God is the one who always provides the way for you. I'm going to give you an example. And if we run 3 minutes over, bear with me and don't go clap, 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 clap. Just bear with me. It won't be more than 3 minutes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Do you believe that? Well, I thought I believed that. You see, I thought I believed that because I knew the verse. And I have this theoretical thing about, well, I believe God. But when I applied, do you believe that, to the verse, I said, oh yeah, I believe that for Robertson McQuilkin. I believe that for 94% of my temptation. I mean, I believe that for, but there was, you see, there were some areas where the fact of the matter is, my life, how I lived, how I thought, there are certain temptations were coming by and I'd be rolling over like a puppy dog saying, scratch my belly, I can't beat you. And the fact of the matter is, I knew the verse. And the fact of the matter is, I knew I could rely on God, but the fact of the matter is, I didn't believe that. And when I realized someone challenged me and said that verse and said, do you believe that? And I freaked out. When I realized I didn't believe that, how can I dare say I didn't believe that? How can I not believe that? And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I choose to believe. I don't understand, but I really choose to believe. And it was like that day. You people who wear contacts and glasses. You ever, you know, when you go and they, when you have to go for your examination and they take your glasses off and your contacts out and, you know, they say, look, and you say, you know, read it. And you say, read what? And they bring the big cold thing down and go, with the, and all of a sudden you say, E-A-O-O, and you go, and you, whoo! And you can see 2090 finally. But you know what I'm saying?
Why go running around the room for an hour? Just
well,
do it.
Show us to believe that.
Well, that's how it used to be, except when God gave me the contacts with the temptation when I chose to believe. And all of a sudden I saw there were doors. 1, 2, 3, 4. There were windows. There were escape hatches all over the place in every temptation. And I had the eyes to see through faith. And I was bolting out of different temptations that I used to just fall for. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Sometimes, Satan does everything he can. I'm almost there. I'm going to keep my 3-minute word. Satan does everything he can to attack your faith, folks, because your faith is what he's afraid of. And I want to end with this. Just because I said the word end, don't go. I want to end with this incredible comment from a person who wrote a commentary that I forgot to write the name down, so it's the unknown commentator. And so I'm stealing it, but I don't know from whom I stole it. But listen to this. If Satan can snatch your faith, he's got you. If you hold on, you've got the victory. And listen to this beautiful statement about faith. It's going to do it this way. To the natural man, the power of evil appears uncontrollable. And to the weak Christian, the force of temptation appears irresistible. It requires a firm belief in Jesus to enable us to dismiss this appearance of irresistible, uncontrollable evil as being merely appearance. Nor is such faith a means of escape from conflict. On the contrary, it is right in the middle of evil's display of power that the believer is able to call its bluff and proclaim the superior might of Jesus. Such faith is far from being wish fulfillment or sheer illusion. On the contrary, it rests four square on the fact that Jesus Christ has defeated death, and anybody who can defeat death can defeat anything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever relies, obeys, trusts, and clings to him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, drive it home. Amen. Thank you.